in operation, manifesting. A lot of times we can hope so and not receive anything. But when we press through and a real gift of healing is in operation, then that's when people are able to receive. A lot of times we disappoint ourselves by trying to apply something that we have not even allowed ourselves to process or come to a place where we actually believe in that. I want to talk this morning about two things, and that's faith and believing. Now, a lot of us would say, well, those two things go together. They're the same thing. They're not the same thing. We'll find out that one is an act of the spirit, the other is an act of the soul. And so I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Luke, chapter 1. Talking about Zacharias. Book of Luke, chapter 1, start with verse 5. It says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled. And fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. I want you to look at the story that we're reading here and realize that Zacharias believed in God. He had faith in God because he was a priest, and he went about the service of the priesthood. They, in that day, it sounds kind of cold, but when the priests, when it's time for them to do their thing, they would actually kind of cast lots or roll the dice or whatever to see who had to do what. And so it fell on Zechariah to burn incense. And so when he went into the holy place to burn incense, everybody was worshiping, everybody was praying. And all of a sudden, to the right of the altar, an angel appeared. Now, I don't know about you, but number one, that would be the first clue that something was up. That God was doing something. When an angel appears to you, you know, that's when you say, hey, something might be happening. But the angel of the Lord told Zechariah, hey, your prayer has been heard. Second thing is the angel was saying, your prayer's been heard, and you're going to receive what you asked for. Okay? Told him how great it was going to be, all the things going to be prepared. And Zachariah's response was, well, how am I supposed to know this is going to happen? He had faith in God, but at the time the angel appeared to him, he was not able to believe that it was actually going to take place. Many times we believe for things and we actually become hardened about the very thing that we're trying to believe for because of disappointment. Yeah. It's almost like I've got a splinter in my finger. It's been there for years and years and years. And it was off a pole. I used to be a lineman climbing poles. And I slid down about as many poles as I climbed, I think. And don't try it. It's not good. Because when you climb those poles, the hooks that you stick in, they make splinters stick out just like this. So when you slide down them, all them splinters sticking out like that, you collect them on the way down. And there was one in my finger that I didn't realize. I thought I'd got it out, but I never did. And so it's still there. You can see this black thing going in underneath my fingernail. And instead of it becoming infected, it was there, it's present. My body encapsulated it and just sealed it off. And so now I got this white thing around it that seals it off and keeps it. It's still there, but it's encapsulated. It's hardened. You understand what I'm talking about? That's the way faith is many times in our heart. We hold it in our heart. We have these things that we want to see God do, but over time, experiences, disappointments, discouragement, and just life sometimes takes and seals that promise with a hard shell that we have a hard time breaking through because we want to believe God. We want to know that God's real, but it becomes harder and harder and harder the longer time goes on. And if we're not careful, we get to the place where we have a religious belief about God answering prayer, but when you really get down to it, you don't expect it anymore. Yeah. Zechariah was being encountered by the answer that he had prayed for. It showed up. Took a long time. They were advanced in years, but the answer showed up and was standing right before him, and he couldn't believe that it was actually going to happen. And so the angel said, to keep you from saying anything else like that, the sign you're going to get is you're not going to be able to talk until this baby's born, because you're going to mess up your own miracle. Amen. You know, sometimes I wonder if God shouldn't just, you know, take our ability to speak away from us until things happen. Because many times we believe one minute and we denounce it the next minute with the things that come out of our mouth. I don't know how many people I've prayed for healing, and as soon as I get through praying for them, they go back to tell me how hard it is and what they're going through. Well, we just prayed for God. Well, I guess I'm just going to have to do. And to me, I step back and I say, what'd we do? You know, that was wasted. Why? Because it wasn't received. It never changed to faith. There was never an act of faith. Salvation is the same way. You talk to people about salvation, and if they believe in God, but they have a hard time accepting that He is who He says He is right now in their life, in their circumstance and situation, people have a hard time receiving Him because they don't believe that it can actually happen. Amen. They might have faith, but they don't have the ability to believe at this moment. The reason I showed you this story, I wanted you to see how for 22 years this lady had prayed. People had prayed for her. And I laughed when I first saw that, when she said, I have been flopped and dropped and flipped, and people have tried to pull me out of this wheelchair over and over and over. And it didn't happen to the point that she finally started avoiding anything that resembled that. Why? Because disappointment, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Disappointment is probably one of the strongest enemies that you will fight in your life. The devil is not a challenge. He has to bow at the name of Jesus. You can cast him out. But trying to deal with disappointment is a far greater enemy, because disappointment dwells in our thinking processes. Disappointment determines what we believe and what we're able to accept right now, today, and it determines whether we're able to walk in the things that God has for us, or whether we walk in a fantasy of someday. Someday. You know, you hear people always talking about revival's coming, revival's coming, revival's coming. Revival is right now if you want it to be. Amen. If we want it right now. You know what discourages most people about a move of God? When God begins to move, and we're seeing a lot of this right now, some of you have begun to experience this, and you need to see past it, because when God begins to move in a church and in people's lives, and you start experiencing an encounter with God, the first thing that happens is the junk comes to the top. And when the junk comes to the top, all of a sudden you're dealing with more problems than you've dealt with before. And if you're not careful, you immediately get discouraged because you thought God was moving. You wanted a move of God, and you wanted God to fix things, and all you're experiencing is all kinds of problems in yourself, in your relationships, with other people. Everything seems to be going wrong and blowing up. How could this be a move of God? The reason it's a move of God is because the heat has been applied to your life, and all the junk is rising to the top so that God can blow it out of your life. Woo. We're ready to shout on that one, ain't it? Come on, God, move so I can be miserable. Chris Volanton out Bethel Church, when they've had an ongoing move of God revival for years, 20-some years. And when that first started happening, Bill, the pastor, you know, he just kept pushing revival, 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 and the move of God, presence of God, presence of God. And he said, Chris said, he was one of the pastors, he said, I got to the point where I was completely discouraged and didn't know if I actually wanted revival anymore or not, because behind the scenes, he said, all we dealt with was just an avalanche of problems. He said, all of a sudden, people started having problems that they never had. He said, all we got done was trying to fix problems. And he said, I didn't understand why. To me, it was not a good time. And he said, I was ready to just give up and say, I don't want this. And God showed him that the reason that was happening is because when God starts moving, he starts revealing the things in our life that need to come out. Come on, somebody. You want a move of God? Or do you want to just live one more day with the frogs? When the king was finally said, get rid of the frogs, Moses said, when do you want me to get rid of the frogs? For whatever reason, Pharaoh said, tomorrow. Why would anybody that is surrounded by frogs, in their bed, on their table, the stench of frogs dying everywhere, why would anybody say tomorrow? Why wouldn't Pharaoh say right now? Get them out of here right now. But instead, he wanted to spend at least one more night with the frogs. How many of us approach God like that and we're always going to do something? We're always going to let God move in our life. We're always going to commit to God. We're always going to have a move of God in our life. But we never quite get there. You know why? Because when we first start, the first thing we confront is disappointment. When you decide to fast, matter of fact, I forgot to mention this, but for whatever reason, God has spoke to me January the 7th. I don't know what he's planning. But I know one day when I'd been in prayer for several hours, praying for this church, believing God for this church, asking God to move powerfully and just manifest his presence in this body and demonstrate the word in this body, all of a sudden God spoke to me, and all he said was January 7th. I looked that up. It's on a Saturday. I don't know why. What God's got planned, but I do know this. I'm going to ask us from next Sunday for 21 days from December the 18th to December or January the 7th, I'm going to ask us to commit ourselves to fast before God and prepare ourselves to receive whatever God has for us. A fast can be a lot of different things. It can be a fast from food. But I just want to challenge you with this. What a lot of people don't understand today is our time is one of the greatest values that we have, because our time is taken up all the time, dominated. Rob said one time, he said, I wonder where all that time's going that we save with these new electronic devices and all these time. You know, if I was able to get all the time say that I'm supposed to be saving, I would be 19 today, because I would have went back in time. What happens is it doesn't take as long to do things, so we fill our days with so much more than we used to that our minds never get any rest. Even if your body gets rest, your brain doesn't get any rest. I've opened up my phone before and saw that people was posting things on Facebook, and opened up and realized that at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, they're on their phones posting things on Facebook. And then they talk about they can't sleep. Well, of course you can't sleep. That blue light wakes your brain up. It tells your brain sleep time's over. If you wake up in the middle of the night, don't turn on electric devices. Boy, there's some people just. One of the greatest fasts that you can do is fast from media. If you could take that time that you watch television and spend that time in prayer and study of the Word. If you could take that time that you spend scrolling on Facebook, and some of you, if you kept track of it, it's hours in a day. If you could take that time and spend praying and seeking God, think of what would begin to transpire in your life. And so from December the 18th to January the 7th, I'm going to ask this church. You know, I've never asked this before. I don't know why. I've always done it myself. But I'm going to ask this church to spend time in prayer, preparing themselves. Sometimes you have to give some things up. But when God asks you to give some things up, it's for a purpose. God asked me to quit working this fall and spend time in prayer. And I've done that. I've committed that. It's not easy. I've forfeited over $10,000 in income this fall because God asked me to spend time in prayer. That means that bills become hard to pay. That means that you never have any money. That means it gets harder and harder and harder when you can't get the income that you need. And yet there's something that God wants. And when we answer the call and we say, God, whatever you want, I'm going to commit myself to you, then it's not wasted time. But the first thing you're going to deal with is disappointment. Amen. There's nothing more disappointing than to spend time in the glory of God only to come home and find out that you don't have the money to pay your bills. It's like, God, I was just in your presence. What happened? Whoever said that because you do something, everything's supposed to work out for you? The first thing you got to learn is that there's a battle. There's a struggle. You're not only going to fight yourself, you're going to fight the devil that does not want you to break through, because if you break through, you're going to affect so many people around you. Not only your life's going to be affected, but people all around you is going to be affected, and we're going to do damage to the kingdom of the enemy. Sometimes we have to make up our mind, do I have more than just a faith that God exists? Do I actually believe right now? Do I believe that God is a right now God? Do I believe that He's present with us? Sometimes we have to have a word from God, from somebody to help us understand that. And God knows how to do that. I'm constantly texting messages to pastors and to people, because the Holy Spirit just show me their face and give me a statement. I'll text that to them. And many times they'll answer back and say, wow, that was on, right on. What is that? It's telling them, it's encouraging them and saying, hey, God knows you. He knows where you're at. He's a right now God. He's working in your life. It's not hopeless. Many times we begin to feel hopeless. We begin to feel like something's not right. It's never going to work out. It's not going to happen. And things go on and on and on. And we thank God, I spent 2 hours in prayer. Nothing happened. Oh yeah, there was a lot happened. Your soul just got disciplined. And I'll guarantee you, it didn't like it, and it's going to fight back. Amen. Come on. I'm going to try to preach this message this morning. The angel said, because you did not believe my words. Zacharias had a hard time believing that right now is going to happen. So what's the difference? In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, in the Amplified Bible, says, but without faith it's impossible to please and be satisfactory to Him. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that He is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek Him. Praise God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But then changed the terminology and said, in order to have faith, you've got to first believe that He is. Not that He was, not that He someday will, but He is. And that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Amen. It might have taken 22 years, but how many know that Dahlia Cox, that we just showed you, I think that was her name, how many know that today she's actually very happy about the journey? Why? Because now she's walking in the provision that she tried to believe for 22 and a half years. And all of a sudden it happened. Through all the doubt, through all the unbelief, sometimes we have to decide, I'm going to believe. You say, I've got faith. Well, a lot of people have faith, but do you believe? Believing is the first step. Why? Because faith is a function of the Spirit. Faith is a spiritual impartation. God gave every person the measure of faith. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, Paul said, For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Every person, God has implanted faith in every human being. Every one of us. How else could we get saved when the time comes and we're confronted with the gospel? Because God has planted in us the ability to have faith. There is a seed of faith. Matter of fact, the original King James Version says God has given every person the measure of faith. In the Amplified Bible, it says that God has dealt each person the degree of faith necessary to operate in the gifts they've been given. God has implanted to you the degree of faith that is necessary. You have it. It's there. But he said, in order to please God, you've got to walk in faith. But in order to do that, you've got to first believe that he is and that he's a rewarder. Why is believing such a powerful thing? It's because it's a choice you make in your soul. It's not a choice you make in your spirit. Your spirit already has faith. Matter of fact, your spirit has the degree and ability to believe God and have faith that is necessary for everything you need to do in your entire life. It's already there. You don't need to grow in faith. You just need to let it activate because it's there. It's been given to you. But believing is a choice of the mind. Believing is your soul releasing control and saying, I am going to release myself to believing God. If you don't make that choice, faith can never activate. But once you make that choice, then faith starts working in your life. Why? Because you have chosen to allow the gift in you to start supplying the thing that you have need of. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's not about just having faith. People say, I need more faith. No, you got all the faith you need. Matter of fact, Jesus said that if you had faith, if you got faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, if Jesus was talking today, he would say that's the smallest thing that he could think of to relay in that day. If we were talking about it today, he would say, if you had faith the size of a quirk, which is a little tiny nucleus of an atom that you can't even see with the human eye. And Jesus was telling us that if you had that much faith, you could say to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea. But what is it that he said? He said, but if when you pray, if you ask believing, if you believe that whatever things you ask for is going to happen, you'll receive them. All right? So Jesus was actually telling us that faith isn't the problem. You've got faith. You have faith. Everything I needed. When God called me to preach when I was 18, 19 years old, I had all the faith already in me at that time that was necessary for everything that God would ever ask me to do. It was there. It was present. Matter of fact, when I was younger, I had more faith than sense. But in order to believe, in order to really believe, I had to educate my soul on the things of God. Because if you don't educate your soul on the principles of God and on the Word, then you end up in fantasy. Amen. Paul said we end up like one that beats the air, shadow boxing. We're out there, we can talk faith all day, but if you don't really believe, then nothing happens in your life. But it's that believing part. Faith is not where you have the battle. Faith is in the believing. Because your soul makes a choice to believe, and then the first thing your soul starts doing is arguing with you over what you've chosen to believe. Isn't that true? Am I the only one here that does that? Your soul will battle with you. You'll do battle inside of you, not out here. Amen. Now, the devil will try to manipulate your mind, but the battle takes place in your believing, in your choices to believe. God, I'm going to believe that this is you. I'm going to believe that you're going to do this. And then whenever you do that, then that's when faith in your spirit is activated. And you have to rely on that gift that's been put in you. And the soul does not like relying on anything it cannot produce itself. Oh, hallelujah. If you can't reason it out, it doesn't seem viable. Why would I do this if I can't reason this out? Everything that God's ever asked me to do, I could not reason it out. I just simply had to say, okay, God, I choose you. And I'm going to press in. And I'm going to choose to believe you. Disappointment, if you allow disappointment to, I wasn't going to preach on this. But if you allow disappointment to constantly determine your actions, then you will destroy everything that God tries to do in your life. Not God, not the devil, you will. Why? Because you make disappointment the leading character in your life. Amen. Disappointment can literally, matter of fact, listen to me. There's a lot of you here today that are suffering trying to believe God because there's things in your life that have been established as fact because of experiences in your life that have been established as fact, and you're still struggling with that. And every time you try to get close to God, you come face to face with that fact that has been established in your life that says God can't do this, or I tried this, or people did this to me. And you come face to face with that. And until you're able to push through that and let that gift of faith in you take you beyond that measure, beyond that point, you're going to continually bump into that. And what will happen is disappointment will become God in your life. And you will literally serve and worship disappointment. Come on, somebody. Man, it's getting heavy in here. You know why it's getting heavy in here? Because the junk's coming to the top. Some of us can't seem to get past that point. You won't confront the fact that you were disappointed. And because you were disappointed by a person that you had trust in, by somebody you had confidence in, you can't get past that point because you measure God by that situation. Amen. I'm trying to measure all the things I'm getting right now, whether I should say them or not. We've got to come to the place where we're willing to put that in God's hands and say, God, here it is. Well, if we can't come to the place where we decide to serve God in spite of the disappointments and discouragements we've had, we're never going to enter into His presence. As long as our disappointments and discouragements are Lord and Master in our lives, we will forfeit everything God wants to do to us because we can't trust Him. The reason we can't trust Him is because we associate Him with our experiences. The fact is, life is just a quagmire of experiences. And if you allow those experiences to determine who you are and what you become and what you believe, then you will lose in life and life will conquer you. You've got to make the decision God, I want you to confront this in my life. And when that happens, there is going to be a torrent of opposition coming from the inside of you. But you got to just simply humble yourself before God, bow yourself in the presence of God, and say, God, I am willing to walk past this. Some of you want to have an intimate relationship with God, but you were violated at a young age by people you had trust in. And every time you try to get close to God, all of a sudden that trust issue of that person comes up, and you can't get any further than that person. Why? Because that person has ruled your life and dominated your life when God is saying, I want to be God in your life. I have not molested you. I have not abandoned you. I wasn't the one to hurt you. But if you can just simply get past, if you can just believe in who I really am, not what you have perceived, not what people has related to you. If you can receive who I really am, then I can bring healing into your life and you can know who I am. I realize that it gets really uncomfortable when God begins to pinpoint things in our life, especially the fact that we live together all the time. I'm here all the time. It's really hard to trust a pastor that seems to be able to see into your life. But when God does that, listen to me, it's not because he's trying to embarrass you. It's not because he's trying to hurt you. It's because he's saying, hey, I'm here. I'm here. I'm on the other side of this wall. Let me tear it down. Let me break this thing. I restrain myself so much from speaking things to this congregation because I know it would be hard for you to trust that I don't, because I know you. And so I have to balance everything to make sure that you don't feel, because every time that happens, people go find them another church. It's like, you know, I got to get away from this guy. Listen, you don't need to get away from God. If God's speaking to you, don't run from him, run to him. Why? Because God's trying to help you believe. He's trying to get you past that point of believing that is rebellion in your heart. I had a big, long message to preach this morning. I was going to actually teach. I'd made up my mind I'm going to teach this morning. That ain't how it works in me. Praise God. But I want you to grab hold of this morning. Listen. Most of us are having a hard time believing. It's not faith. You've got faith. But we're having a hard time believing. I know this for a fact. I've walked through this over and over and over. I can't tell you how many times I've had to cross over the line that the devil's drawn in front of me and said, God has let you down. People have let you down. You can't go past this. But I've had to humble myself in the presence of God and say, God, give my legs strength. Help me to step. God, cause my legs to move. I don't want to be stalled out here. God, help me step over this line. Give me the strength and the power to step over this chicken line that's been drawn for me. And God gives me the strength, and I'm able to step across it, and there's no reason on this earth that I should. Because everything on this earth tells me I shouldn't. But I got somebody in heaven that has an opposite opinion of my life. And he sees my life totally different than I see my life. He sees me as an eternal being. He does not see me in my temporary situation. He sees me as an eternal being that has went past that. Come on, somebody. We got to break these chains this morning. We got to break this doubt that's come into your life. You say, oh, I believe God, but you can't seem to get past. You can't seem to get beyond. You can't seem to go forward. Why? Because there is a problem with believing. Stand with me today, if you would. It's not whether you have faith or not, because every one of you have faith. It's the fact that you're having a hard time believing God over the disappointments in your life. Zechariah had felt disappointment He had struggled to believe. He had prayed and asked God to give them the gift of a child. And now all of a sudden the gift was standing right before them and being declared to them. And Zechariah couldn't believe it. He couldn't accept it. Because he'd come to a place where he was trying to maintain his faith in God. But disappointment had become so much stronger than his faith that he had a hard time accepting. We measure our relationship with God by our circumstances in our present and in our past. But why would we cut off the future God has for us because of something temporarily going wrong in our life? You know, if me and Sister Betty would have went that route, and believe me, it was a fight. It was a fight. It was a fight. If we'd have went that route, we would have never had our children. Because two of them was taken away from us. We'd have never been able to get it. We'd have never had Benaiah. This guy sitting over here in this drum booth would have never been here. I wouldn't have grandbabies today. You know why? Because disappointment was seizing our lives. We lost the baby. And then the second one was born premature. And I held her little hand. Her hand was big enough to hold the end of my finger. And she held on the end of my finger for hours, sitting at little incubator, listening to her heartbeat. And I sit there for 11 hours, holding her hand, believing for a miracle. Only to hear her heart beat slower and slower and slower and slower and watch her turn completely black right in front of my eyes. And all of a sudden, the heart monitor just went flat. You know what I did? I went to God and said, God, I've done everything I know to do to serve you. I've been faithful. As much as I know how to be faithful. I've seen people healed. I've seen miracles take place. And yet I just watched my baby girl die. And nothing happened. Darkness. Despair. So we kept trying to believe God. Got pregnant with Benaiah. 3 months into the pregnancy, Betty started going through the same thing. Her body started rejecting this child. And it was like, here it goes again. Here it goes again. If you make disappointment the God of your life, you will never be able to get the blessing that God has for you. You say, but I've lost and I've lost and I've lost. But you got to get up and get up and get up because you got to break through this thing. I've told you this story. Many of you know it, but I need you to understand that there is a line drawn and you have to learn to step over the line. But on a Saturday, Betty was laying in bed. She was miscarrying this baby. We didn't tell anybody because we'd had so many problems. We just didn't want to bother anybody. She's laying in bed on a Saturday. I'm sitting in the living room praying and saying, God, I don't understand. I don't understand why we can't get a healing. I don't understand why we can't get a miracle. God, I don't understand this. just like that, the Holy Spirit said, go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. I turned to Deuteronomy 28, don't know that I'd ever read it before. I turned to Deuteronomy chapter 28, started reading, and I got to a verse where it said that blessed will be the fruit of your bodies. I was sitting in a chair and I stood straight up. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him and he said, how long are you going to let the devil steal from you before you educate your brain on how to believe? I walked in the bedroom, put that Bible down on the bed. I said, Betty, God just spoke this to me. Blessed is the fruit of our body. God is declaring to us that our children are blessed and they're being stolen from us. I laid my hands on her and prayed for her. Nothing happened. She continued miscarrying. The next morning, by faith, she got out of bed, decided to come to church. Shouldn't have been out of bed, but she decided to come to church. Her uncle, Earl Blanson, the pastor of this church for 14 years, was standing. He wasn't a pastor at that time. He was standing over here. We was all up here at the altar. Me and Betty were standing right over here. Earl was standing over here. And during the altar call, we was up here worshiping. And all of a sudden, Earl turned and looked at us. We hadn't told anybody what was going on. Earl turned and looked at us, walked across the platform in front of the church. He laid his hand on Betty's head, and he said, Satan, how dare you touch the child of God? This baby will live and not die. We grabbed hold of that. God healed her that day. Not another problem. Carried Benaiah full term. He was born. Carried Austin full term. Not a problem. I told you that story. Many of you have heard that so many times. But I told you because some of you are in that place where the chicken line has been drawn in your life and the disappointment and discouragement in your life is greater than your ability to believe, and you've got to come to a place where you get a hold of the Word of God and it comes alive in your heart and you say, God, I don't understand it. I can't reason this out. It doesn't make any sense, but I'm going to trust you and I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to keep believing. I could hold you here for hours telling you story after story after story in my life. But that's happened. Some of you are standing there today. God has some things for you. He's wanting to release to you. But you're at that point. You keep bumping off that, bumping off that, bumping off that. You can't break through. But today I want you to know something. There's enough faith inside of you to get past this. There's enough. Yeah. The gift of God is inside of you. The gift of God is inside of you. I said the gift of God is inside of you. Faith is alive on the inside of your spirit. It's just your soul has to decide to believe and to yield to the gift of God. You say, all that's happened in my life is just a bunch of junk coming up. You got to see that as the work of God, because God's trying to get rid of it so that you can get what He has for you. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus.